Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Thiago Motta, the mastermind behind Bologna's unlikely push for a Champions League spot, is seen as one of the most impressive up-and-coming managers. With plenty of clubs looking for a new head coach this summer, could Motta be ready for a move to one of European football's elite? And how much does a new manager's style influence the roles that they're offered? I'm Adam Leventhal. Welcome to the Athletic FC podcast. Well, alongside me for this one is The Athletic's Italian football writer James Horncastle and our data writer Mark Carey, who's written a profile on Thiago Motta, part of a series for The Athletic this week, profiling six up-and-coming managers, which I recommend everyone reads. Before we get to your perspective on Motta's impact on the pitch, Mark, James, I wanted to just get into your sort of knowledge of the man. You wrote a great article with a wonderful intro regarding the Da Vinci Code, which I also recommend people read, back in February 2023. It went on a mystical journey and I loved every minute of it. For people who aren't aware, who don't have their eyes sort of tracked on Serie A, just how has he transformed them in short? And then we'll get stuck into exactly what he's doing on the pitch, James.
Well, it's been remarkable because, you know, Bologna over the last decade have always threatened to be a team that could break into the European places, and they've never quite done it. And it's been the source of a lot of frustration within the fan base. This is a demanding fan base. You know, it's one of the most successful teams in Italy. People take that for granted. You know, people who grew up in the Gazzetta Football Italia generation on Channel 4, they think of Parma as being, you know, one of the seven sisters. And, you know, Parma were one of the teams of the 90s and kind of benchmark as to the depth that a league has. But they never won the league. You know, Bologna have won it seven times. You know, like only Genoa, Inter Milan and Juventus have won it more than they have. And so there's always been this kind of yearning for Bologna to do big things, either in the cup or get into one of the second or third tier European competitions. And despite having a North American owner, because Joey Saputo is kind of Canadian-Italian, when he came in a decade or so ago, they thought that his investment would push them into these European places. And Saputo, in fairness, has done some really interesting things. He's got all the sporting directors that a middling team needs to get in order to get into Europe. He's had Walter Sabatini, Pantaleo Corvino. At the moment, he's got Giovanni Sartori, but it hasn't happened. And so I think that when judging Thiago's work, they're not just like at the moment in contention to get in the Conference League. They're in contention to get in the Champions League. And not just sneak in there either, but be comfortably in there if Serie A gets a fifth Champions League place in the expanded competition. So, yeah, in that respect, it's one of the more remarkable jobs that a coach has done in recent years in Italy.
So he's transformed them from Serie A strugglers to sitting fourth, Champions League chasing Bologna, and using ideas which have been sort of previously mocked and have been mocked along the way. Just take us into this and I, with inverted commas, wacky ideas.
Well, I think the initial idea that he was thought of as wacky was kind of incorrectly placed as such. And I think James mentioned it in the piece that he did last year, and I included it in the one that I did, where he basically spoke about a 2-7-2 formation, and people thought that that was absolutely ludicrous, which it would be if it was seen as something that's going from back to front. But he was very much focusing on left to right and talking about vertical 2-7-2. So very much focused on central progression, making sure that the goalkeeper is part of their build-up, and that their he said about his attackers being very key to their defensive side of the game. So it was seen as wacky, kind of, you know, as I say, erroneously. But I think a lot of his principles and his philosophy starts and ends with the ball, which is very much indicative of the modern day manager. But his UEFA Pro license thesis is called the value of the ball. And I know that a lot of football managers do want to have a lot of possession, but he really implements it sort of to the nth degree. And so looking at the numbers, they average 50% of possession in Serie A, which is the second highest. Only Napoli have more. But they're very focused on this real deep build-up and making sure that they have really sort of clear numerical superiority, which is just a fancy way of saying having more players than the opposition in specific areas of the pitch, where they really like to work the ball through really carefully in a really considered manner. We can speak about how that maybe affects the attacking side of it, maybe being a little bit blunt on the attacking side, but they do something that's quite innovative, but again, fairly indicative of the modern day game, whereby they like to bring their centre-backs into midfield. Sometimes one, which we've seen commonly with John Stones coming into midfield, with Manchester City, and more and more teams are doing it. I know Inter Milan are good at sort of progressing their centre-backs forward. Sometimes both of them, and that's where it becomes interesting with Bologna, because sometimes it will be just the one at any one point to make more passing angles to work through the opposition's press. But sometimes it will be both at the same time, and that the fullbacks will tuck in. So, you know, watching Bologna sometimes, you think, as someone who's just interested in football, you think, what are they doing? It's starting to make me panic a little bit, but they have such a trust in each other. And another thing from Motta's thesis is that he talks a lot about technical trust, of just essentially as what you want teammates to have, is having that trust in your teammate to take the ball, receive it in maybe difficult positions or uncomfortable positions. But then when you see Riccardo Calafiori running forward into being the man who's the furthest forward of any player, and then his centre-back partner at times, Sam Bukema, being the furthest man back, it looks quite jarring, but they make it work. And it's, as I say, key to Motta's way of playing is to have that trust in each other, and wherever you see the space, expose it and try and work the ball forward.
So he's big on fluidity, but that's not a rare trait that we see in teams anymore. But I'm interested to find out whether that makes them very susceptible when it doesn't quite pan out, or is there a greater understanding out of possession as there is in possession?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, in tactic terms, people talk a lot about rest defense, of making sure that when you do have possession of the ball, that you're well positioned and well placed to make sure that you are comfortable to defend. And I think that the rotations do lend themselves to that, to make sure that, you know, they aren't really counterattacked on too much. I think their possession play does feed into how potent they are in attack. They're really strong defensively, and I think it's because they possess the ball so well in such a considered manner. You know, they will take the opportunity when it arises, but they aren't super fast in really looking to work the ball forward as quickly as possible. As with any tactical sort of approach, it has its positives and its negatives. And the positives are that they are super strong defensively, one of the best in Serie A, if not across wider Europe. But they are maybe sometimes a little bit toothless in attack because they are, you know, so considered in that possession style.
Yeah, when you look at the very sort of simple statistics, which is sort of more my wheelhouse than yours, Mark, they don't score as many, 42 score, but they do have a great defensive record of just 25 conceded, which is only bettered by Inter and Juve currently in that top four. James, what is the perception then of this side in Italy? Is he seen as a great disruptor, or is he not everyone's cup of tea?
Well, the context is Serie A, and Serie A takes a lot of pride in producing the next big thing in coaching. You know, I think whenever people judge Italian football and Serie A and styles of play, tempo usually comes to tempo, right? It's too slow. It's where people like Thiago Motta go and have a second career after they've blown their knee out at Barcelona. the reality is that these coaches who are successful in Serie A go on and do translate their success in the Premier League, the league that everyone holds in the highest regard. You know, I mean, the Premier League, if you look at winners of the Premier League, no nationality has had more winners of it than Italy. You know, Roberto Mancini, Carlo Ancelotti, Conte, Claudio Ranieri, all coaches with different styles, all styles that have been transferable to Italy. And so there is a great deal of pride in the coaching school at Coverciano. There is a great deal of pride in, I would say, this generation of young Italian managers that is coming through, not just Thiago Motta, but also people like Vincenzo Italiano at Fiorentina, Raffaele Palladino at Monza. A lot of these guys are disciples of Giampiero Gasperini. Gasperini, who got Genoa up in 2007, playing with a back three. And, yeah, that made the back three popular again. You know, I think it made people, yeah, there were stereotypes about it when he first came through. They would say, oh, a back three is defensive. You're having an extra center back. It proved that these people weren't really watching how Genoa played and how more often than not the strikers that were playing for Gasperini would be top of the goal scoring charts. People like Marco Borriello, Diego Milito. And, you know, Thiago Motta talks in that thesis that Mark talks about two of the teams that have, well, not just two, there are four teams that have influenced him. I mean, there are two that he's played for. There was one that was the Jose Mourinho Inter Milan side that won the treble, and how Mourinho, when it came to having a midfield player on the ball, the personality and the character that he wanted from a midfield player was, even if you're 3-0 up, to keep trying to play those vertical passes in behind for your strikers to score the fourth goal, the fifth goal, the sixth goal. Just keep going. Kill, kill, kill. And then with Gasperini, which is, actually, you know, I don't want you to play the ball direct in behind and go direct to the striker. I want you to find a man between the lines, and I want you to follow the play and get in the box yourself and score some goals. And the other thing, I mean, since he's become a coach, the teams that have influenced him are Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds United. And, you know, Mark talked about that interview he gave in which he talked about, what was it, the 272. And I think that's a reason why he looks at Bielsa and says, oh, Bielsa doesn't give interviews, so I'm not going to give interviews anymore. I'm not going to talk to Gazzetta dello Sport, so they make me look stupid like that time. So he doesn't give interviews other than what he has to do sort of post-match and pre-match. And so I think at this moment in time, you know, Bologna tried to extend his contract already last summer. And I think they're still waiting for an answer. And so I think there is a feeling that, you know, Thiago was already interviewed for the Napoli job last year as a replacement to Luciano Spalletti. It wasn't for him. And, you know, I imagine that, you know, he will be at the top of lists for other top Italian clubs. But he shouldn't just be top of those lists for Italian clubs. He should be taken in consideration by, you know, the likes of Barcelona, for example. You know, Barcelona, which is the team he moved to as a young kid from Brazil when he was a teenager. You know, his style of play is very, in my opinion, fitting with Barcelona. It was a surprise when Deco, their sporting director, basically said, I don't really follow Serie A, so I can't really comment on Thiago Motta. I think that was a dereliction of duty. And likewise with the Premier League, for the reasons that I outlined earlier, that, you know, Italian managers tend to be successful in the Premier League, regardless of what people think about styles of play in Italy. They tend to be able to transfer those skills ably. You know, even De Zerbi hasn't won something with Brighton, but he's been the talk of the Premier League for the last 18 months. So, you know, in that sense, there's a lot of pride in basically producing another one of these guys.
Mark, in terms of the evolution that we've seen at Bologna, has he changed things along the way? Has he evolved what he's needed to do to maybe be more pragmatic and maybe not stick to his perceived sort of different ideas?
Yeah, and I suppose it speaks to his philosophy in general, that it is about that trust. And I think one thing that's spoken about quite widely is that idea of positional play and relational play, of rather than having players in fixed positions like a Manchester City, Pep Guardiola's Manchester City, to ensure that you do really have that structure. It's more about you know, as James mentioned about sort of the Gasperini way of just following the ball and following the play in a relational sense, like I spoke before about the centre-back rotations, having different players who will pop up in all sorts of positions. And Joshua Zirkzee, as their current number nine, will drop very deep in a false position and get involved within the build-up in different ways as well. So I think as much as anything, that fluidity kind of on pitch speaks to that fluidity kind of between games and across a period of time, because he wants to trust his players, but with sort of broad principles. But I think the main thing, as I mentioned earlier, was the evolution of their defensive play. I think you can sort of look at it in terms of the changes in evolution in terms of outcome, but in terms of process, that fluidity that he instilled by, as James mentioned, taking so many different influences from so many different managers that aren't all converging on the same style. He is taking different aspects from different managers, means that you almost can't pin him down. Again, to James's point, the fact that then you think, okay, where could he move next? It's really hard to answer that question because it depends. Hmm. It depends on what he wants to implement. It depends on the type of players that he has. It depends which approach he wants to draw from his own playing career to then apply that to the future. So it's really exciting to see not only what his current style is, but then what his future style may be, depending on the team that he potentially goes to.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You're listening to the Athletic FC podcast with Adam Leventhal.
It's always interesting, James, when a player becomes a manager, how their personality either changes or stays exactly the same. And you mentioned about the fact that maybe having his fingers burnt in some of the earlier interviews and having these interesting ideas, 272, et cetera, et cetera, maybe that has made him more reticent to engage. But I wanted to find out what you know of him as a person, as a man, and what he's like. Is he cagey or is he very confident and happy in himself?
I mean, he's serious. You know, I mean, like, there have been moments where he could have, and he does enjoy the success that Bologna are having. I mean, they've got more points at this stage of the season than they did in the entirety of last season. They're 11 points better off than they are last year. They've got this shot. They're not just qualifying for Europe, but qualifying for the Champions League. And there's a great atmosphere at the Renata Dalada at the moment. It's the place is selling out. The players go under the curva after the game. The fans often want him to go under the curva with them. And he instead says, no, you know, the players have done their job on the pitch. They're the ones who deserve the praise. I'm going to stay here. And yeah, there've been times where he's looked a bit teary, you know, at seeing the impact of this team on a city, which is a great, not just a great Italian city, it's a great football city, you know. It's a brilliant place to go and watch football, great place to visit. And yeah, it's very central within Italy, you know. It's a very meaty part of Italy, you know. You know, think of not just prosciutto, which is obviously in Parma, but, you know, every bit of the pig, you know, you think of all those cuts of meat you get from Bologna, essentially. A lot of the great music that you listen to from Italy comes from Bologna. So there's a lot of things that are tied up in the club, and he's been able to relate to that in Not in a deliberate way, in the way that, for example, his predecessor, Sinis Mihailovic, would. You know, Mihailovic would come to press conference with a quote from a biography or a lyric from a song. That's not really Thiago's style. You know, Thiago will talk about his football. He'll talk about the players. He'll talk about what they've done on the pitch. He's been quite, how shall I say this? Not frosty, but like, I mean, they could have had more points than they do at this stage this season, because there have been some games where decisions have gone against them. For example, Juventus, they should have had a penalty, Bologna, and a point at the Juventus Stadium should have been 3 points for Bologna. And he was asked about the refereeing decision and he didn't say anything, but his expression alone told you everything, if you know what I mean. There was no words necessary, because you could completely feel from Thiago's like attitude and mentality, the face he was pulling, what his mood was. So I mean, and I think that's true of him. But his players seem to love, as with De Zerbi, for example, his players seem to love playing for him. He's less charismatic than De Zerbi. De Zerbi is seen as this kind of high priest of a style of football, and is, you know, whether he likes it or not, he's at the kind of forefront of a bit of a culture war in Italy between the new school and the old school. Thiago's not really in that, but all of his players, I think, relate to him in the same way that De Zerbi's do to him. They see they're improving. They see they understand the game better than they did before, than when they were coached by him. They feel that they've got more options on the ball than they did under his predecessors. They feel that they've got more freedom within the principles that Mark was talking about. And I think that leads to a very happy group, a very together group. You know, that he's been able to include lots of players. You know, if you look at the wingers at Bologna, they've constantly changed this season, from Orsolini, who, in my opinion, you know, people talk about Chiesa all the time. There have been many years where Orsolini's had better years than Chiesa. This is one of them. There's Ndoye, who they signed from Basel. There's Salamakers, who won the league with AC Milan. Salamakers, who was crucial to kind of Milan's way of pressing. And I think the way, that's the other story about this Bologna side, is the way it's been recruited. Mark was talking about rest defense, but this is a very athletic Bologna team out of possession. Lewis Ferguson, you know, is the stand-in captain, and he's magnificent. Not only is kind of a shadow striker off Joshua Zirkzee, but in terms of what he gives you when you need to win the ball back, you know, he's all over the pitch. Same with Remo Freuler, who was at Forest briefly. Freuler, for many years, was the pack man in midfield for Gasperini's Atalanta. So they've got players with the attributes needed to play this style and learn and flourish in this style, which I think is exciting.
Just quickly from you, Mark, I saw you nodding furiously when James was mentioning some of the players that have been recruited in an interesting way into that side. Who gets your juices flowing in particular?
Well, I mentioned Riccardo Calafiori before. He's a fantastic player. Again, I know that James thinks highly of him, and so many people do. And my understanding is that he is a converted left back. He's so physically able, physically strong, now plays left centre back. He's about 6'2", but in and out of possession, he's so brave, so aggressive. As I mentioned, he's the one who's, sometimes you'll see him running from centre back and being the furthest man forward, but he'll follow the opposition attacker or midfielder into central areas and really be really high up out of possession to make sure he's really touched tight. I think that the main thing that Bologna do in general, and Motta asks his centre backs to do, is be really brave on the ball and go into these areas in midfield that you wouldn't otherwise feel comfortable doing. And Calafiori, I think, is the representation of that. He's really comfortable in sort of taking the onus and being the one to go into midfield and forming this sort of double pivot to make sure that Bologna can build through the thirds. And in and out of possession, I think that he is just so, so strong. And he's super young, still in his early 20s. And I think that, without hyping him up too much, I think he is sort of worthy of a move to potentially a bigger club, because he's got all the physical attributes and all the technical and tactical attributes to go really far.
And that's what people are talking about with Thiago Motta, James, about moving to a bigger club. You've painted such a beautiful romantic picture of the relationship between Motta and the Bologna setup, the city. But you've also spoken about the fact that yeah, he's got a contract offer on the table, but he's just sort of leaving it there for now. Thank you very much. How do you see this panning out? If they are to get into the Champions League, does that completely change things? Does he think maybe similar to Xavi Alonso at Bayer Leverkusen, if I go and win the Bundesliga, maybe I'll stick around? What's your thinking with Thiago Motta and Bologna if they are then a Champions League team? Does it change everything and he sticks with them?
Well, I think it depends on a couple of things. I think it depends if a decision's already been taken, whether he's already decided to go somewhere else. I think it depends whether, you know, on the flip side, you could say that reaching the Champions League would be an incentive for a coach to say, look, I've got unfinished business here. It'd be great to test myself and my group of players out at this level. By the same token, it might be the right time to leave. You could say this is the best opportunity for Bologna to go to other coaches and say, you get to take over a team and play Champions League football with this team. You'll have some revenue which will be able to plow into the team. So it's a good opportunity. In Italy, I think one of the indicators, one of the reasons why Italian teams have done quite well in Europe over the last 4 years, you know, sort of last year reaching three finals in UEFA competitions, even before that, sort of into reaching a Europa League final as well under Conte. I think it's because there's been continuity of managers. Yeah, Mourinho, for example, was at Roma for 2.5 years, reached two European finals. Pioli's been at Milan for a long time now, 6 years maybe. Gasperini's been at Atalanta for even longer. Fiorentina's manager, who's got to sort of back-to-back, he's got to back-to-back European quarterfinals and reached the Conference League final last year. He's been in situ for, this will be his third season. I think there'll be a lot of churn within Italy this year for the first time in a long time. Yeah, we'll have to see whether De Rossi gets the permanent job at Roma. Napoli is a vacancy. They've got a caretaker job there, caretaker at the moment. Yeah, I think the only top club that are sure of their manager next season is Inter. And so, within the Italian ecosystem, I think there is a lot of attention on Thiago Motta. And I always think if you've got someone within your ecosystem, particularly within Italy, you're an advantage in ways to lure him away, because you can say, look, here's some really talented young players, we'll throw them in, you give us the coach. You know, we've seen it, for example, one of the success stories with Bologna this year has been a kid that they signed from Inter, Giovanni Fabian, a midfield player, who's built like a wardrobe and scores lots of goals. You know, Fabian basically joined because they were like, okay, Thiago's not been getting along with Marko Arnautovic, so why don't we send him your way and you give us Fabian? You know, there are lots of little trade pieces, if you like, that go in, that gives Italians an advantage when it comes to keeping a coach or a player in their league. But I think he's good enough. We mentioned his heritage at Barcelona. I mean, I think he'd be perfect there. Yeah, he's very highly thought of at PSG from his playing time there. Obviously started his coaching career in the youth system. I don't think that job is gonna change, but it changes quite frequently. And I think he will be a PSG coach one day, without a doubt. But from my point of view, as someone who covers Serie A and enjoys new stories developing Serie A, I would like to think he would stay, if not at Bologna, then within the league.
Mark, where do you see him potentially best fitting, if it's not to be at Bologna?
I do think, obviously, James talks a lot of sense in terms of the Barcelona PSG connections, not just because of his sort of playing days connections, but because at the moment PSG are gearing more towards a less sort of superstars and more sort of young talent and shaping that talent. And Luis Enrique is comfortably within that position now, but being so sort of possession based and being so dominant, that could make a lot of sense. And of course, we don't have to talk about too much about the Barcelona style of play, not least because, yeah, he was sort of schooled within it, but them being so focused on possession as well, which, coming back full circle with his philosophy, lends itself to that so much. So people are talking about so many managers who are going to be leaving at the end of the season. But for example, Manchester United, people saying about Erik ten Hag's position, I don't think that Motta's style of play would lend itself to overhauling the way that they play. And there's so much obsession about the Manchester United way and all that. I don't think that him trying to evolve the style of play in that way would lend itself to that style of club. So I think whoever it would be, I think it would be someone who is already geared towards trying to be really possession based and trying to use that style to implement his tactical ideals.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the team's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham, all new, Thursdays on FX, stream on Hulu.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
James, you mentioned a few moments ago, subtly, and I didn't follow up on it then, but I'm going to follow up on it now, that in terms of where his next step might be, in the fact that he hasn't necessarily accepted this new deal at Bologna, maybe a deal has already been done. If you were to tell us in your well-informed way where you think, especially if he's going to be retained in Italy, he's sipping out of a Roma mug. Is that a clue or was that just a coincidence?
No, I hope Daniele stays, De Rossi stays in Rome.
So tell me, you know, where do you think it's going to go?
I think for now he stays in Italy. Aside from his time at the youth system with Paris Saint-Germain, all of his coaching steps so far have been Italy. And you know, look, I mean that's not a limit on him because this is a guy who's very, you know, multicultural insofar as that, you know, he's from Brazil, naturalized Italian, speaks Portuguese, speaks Italian. Obviously, he spent the first part of his playing career playing in Spain. This guy is adaptable, you know, even his style of football is very adaptable. But I think, you know, as much as people think that, for example, Inter would be the only top club he would go to because people look at Inter and say, that's where he played, that's where he's associated with the treble. In Italy, I love how managers, they tend to look at their coaching careers differently. They tend to not put limits on themselves. I always remember when Roberto Mancini, for example, was asked about his future. I think a journalist said, "You'd never coach Roma, would you? Because you won the league with Lazio." And he was like, "Well, of course I'd coach Roma, because why would I limit myself to this kind of provincial kind of mentality of city rivalries? You know, if there's a good team at Roma, good offer, good prospects, of course I'd go there." So I think, you know, if a Juventus or a Milan job were to come available, I think he would be considered without a doubt. And I think, you know, both of those projects wed quite well with what Thiago's shown in terms of his ability to nurture young players and be competitive doing so. You know, I think I wrote last week, did quite an in-depth thing with Juventus about their next gen team. And how well Allegri has done. And I think Allegri doesn't get enough credit for the amount of young players he's bred through in the last year. I think teams that, particularly in Italy, you know, Italy does not have the financial might to compete with the Premier League or the state wealth clubs. Italy had a tax break for 4 years, which allowed them to sign players like Christian Pulisic, like Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Tomori. That tax break is gone. Italian clubs are going to have to get real about developing from within. Developing young players. And I think that's something that Thiago's done very well at Bologna. So I think the top clubs in Italy will have an eye on him because of that. because of the context in which Italian football is right now. And so, so I think that's another reason why, if I'm a top Italian club, I would be pushing to get Thiago Motta.
And just a word on the only Italian who is currently in the Premier League, and he's been mentioned a couple of times already, Roberto De Zerbi. We may well end up with another one with Enzo Maresca getting up with Leicester, but they're having a bit of a wobble at the moment. In terms of his best next step, and, you know, Brighton are used to people selling their players and selling, you know, potentially selling their managers. Where do you think his star is at the moment in this second season post getting into Europe?
Well, I think perhaps the Roma games in Europe were perhaps a turning point, I think, in as much as, you know, when Brighton lose, they lose heavily. And I think that's not something that's acceptable at top clubs. And okay, he would have different personnel at top clubs, so maybe this style of play can be more consistent with better players. But also he called out ownership and the direction of the club after that Roma game, after the first leg. I think that's something that top clubs are always looking at. Okay, is the manager going to keep counsel? And if he's got constructive criticism, just keep it with behind closed doors and tell us, or is he going to go public with it? And obviously, yeah, the extreme of that is Antonio Conte. I think it's the year anniversary of him venting at Tottenham. I think Jack Pitbrook recently wrote about that. So I think that's something that's always on people's minds when they maybe link De Zerbi with the Liverpool job. Would that be acceptable to Liverpool? Would that be acceptable to Manchester United? De Zerbi also said, yeah, one day he does see himself being back in Italy. But I think he's too expensive at the moment. And that's not Roberto's fault. That's the fault of him working and succeeding, relatively speaking, in an economic environment where, you know, even a coach for a club that is not a Manchester United, Liverpool, Tottenham is capable of commanding a salary which is so much higher than even the top clubs in Italy can afford to pay. And it's even more difficult now that the tax break is gone, that they no longer have something to soften. For example, being able to pay a wage which approximates what someone like Roberto would get in the Premier League. The other thing that I've always thought would be Roberto is he's a perfect Barcelona manager in waiting. Yeah, and I would love to see an Italian teaching these Catalans how to play football. I'd love it. It'd be brilliant. So, you know, as much as we've talked about Thiago, or should be on there on a shortlist for a club like Barcelona, I think Roberto should be as well. I mean, when he was at Sassuolo, he's either signed players from Barcelona or he sold players to Barcelona because Barcelona have seen what this guy does with players and how he transforms them. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him go to Spain first rather than go back to Italy, if you know what I mean. He's continually fascinating, Roberto, and long may it continue.
Big thanks to James, as always, and to Mark as well here in the studio. And just to let you know, the Best Up and Coming Managers series is currently running on The Athletic. You can read Mark on Thiago Motta, also Nancy Froston on Kieran McKenna, who's going great guns at Ipswich at the moment. Then still to come this week, we have profiles of Paulo Fonseca, Will Still, Michelle, and Garcia Pimienta as well. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. As always, that would be much appreciated. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Athletic FC podcast. The producers were Guy Clark, Mike Stavrou, and Jay Beal. The executive producer was Amy Moorhead. To listen to other great Athletic podcasts for free, search for The Athletic on Apple, Spotify, and all the usual places. The Athletic FC podcast is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.